ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। ओम ब्रह्मानंदम परम सुखदम केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम। माय प्रणाम्स to all of you who have gathered here now. There is a cultivated desire. Desire is something very, very natural. Whatever we have desire for, whatever we desire, any desire is very natural. Do we fulfill all our desires? When the desire arises in the mind, a simple desire, I want to eat or I want to drink, or I want to buy a t-shirt, I want to buy some groceries, or I want to go to neighbor country, I want to go there, I want to go here, I want to meet my friend. Like this, any simple desire comes. Oh, I want to meet our friends with Deva and Frank. Simple desire to meet and ring, find out where they home, available to meet. You decide. If they are available, you come and meet. They are not available, try next some other day. Like this, any desire is very natural. Once the desire comes, we make some effort or the other, a possible effort, appropriate effort, or adequate effort to fulfill that given desire. Sometimes we fulfill our desires, sometimes we are not able to fulfill our desires. But here we have to differentiate between a cultivated desire. And a natural urge. For example, all the time we are watching television, and then there are lots of advertisements. Of so many things, new things. You watch, and through the advertisement, you come to know of something new, a new gadget, a new type of phone, a latest television, a latest computer, a latest iPod, something latest. A different type of recorders, lots of new things you always come to know of. Then you understand the advantages of having them, how possessing a new thing makes your life much easier and quicker. You analyze, then you develop a desire. It seems if I have this car and this gives better mileage, so it will take only this much time for me to go from this place to another place. Be better to have this car which gives me better mileage. Like that, you decide and you want to buy something new. But you see the price of the car and you think of your budget. It's very expensive. I can't buy now. So let me think of getting it maybe after some time. After few months. Like that, if you do not fulfill that desire immediately, nothing will happen, which means you will not die immediately. Isn't it? There are desires. We cultivate them, and which can be fulfilled or which need not be fulfilled. If we do not fulfill, nothing will happen. Still, you can survive. But I want to buy this particular car is a cultivated desire. You develop desire for the car only after you come to know of the car being available in the market. Whereas, I want to eat, I want to drink, I want to use the toilet. If such needs are there, do you cultivate them? Do you cultivate a desire for food? Maybe this food or that food, you can say, I want muesli, I want cornflakes, I want pizza, I want bread, I want rice. If you have a desire for a particular food, you might have cultivated. But I want to eat. That is not something cultivated. You do not slowly cultivate desire for eating. You not cultivate the desire for drinking. The water, when you're very thirsty, you want to drink water. Are you cultivating it? No. What is that? There is natural biological urges, natural physical urge. You have not created your hunger. You have not created your thirst. You have not cultivated the want to eat, want to drink the water, which means they are natural urges. When there is hunger, when there is appetite, then you want to eat, which is an expression of the need, biological need. When you're very thirsty, when there's a thirst, you express your, isn't it? It is an expression of your need. I want to drink. So there are natural urges. Do you need to fulfill them or you do not need to fulfill them? What choice do you have? You have to fulfill. I want to buy a car. I want to buy this particular house in this particular area. Such cultivated desires can be fulfilled, need not be fulfilled. Nothing will happen. But natural urges, like I want to eat, I want to drink, they are natural biological urges, we do not have any say over. You cannot undo, you cannot give up, you cannot control. You can manage for some time. If you can't eat immediately, you can manage for 1 or 2 hours or 3 hours, but sometime or the other, you have to eat, you have to drink, you have to get your hunger appeased, you have to have your thirst quenched. Isn't it true? You have to. It's called natural urges, which means we cannot ignore them. They're natural problems we need to address, which means we need to eat and drink. Similarly, we all use this expression, I want to be peaceful, I want to be happy. Even this want to be happy, the want to be peaceful is also a natural emotional urge. It is not cultivated desire. I want to be happy, I want to be peaceful is not a cultivated desire. Like I want to buy an apartment like this in Frankfurt. Coming to the area, seeing this area, knowing about this area, seeing this house being beautiful, then you cultivate, develop a desire for this house. Oh, you ask the price. What's the price of this? I had to drop that idea. I can't imagine buying one like this. It's beyond my expectation. You drop it immediately. Nothing happens. Therefore, the natural urges have to be choicelessly fulfilled. So I want to be happy and peaceful. I want to live is not a cultivated desire, natural urge. I want to live long is not a cultivated desire, natural urge. I want to live long happily is a natural urge. I want to be peaceful and happy. Where? Here? Only here? No, I want to be happy everywhere. I want to be happy always. I want to be happy with everybody, everyone I know, with every acquaintance, which means this: I want to be happy always. This is not a cultivated desire. We have to understand first of all. What is it then? It's a natural emotional urge, which means we do not have say over this. We need to fulfill that urge. Just as when you feel hungry, you have the urge to eat, when you're very hungry, immediately you don't get any food, you manage your appetite for some time, hunger, then sometime or the other, you eat, you see, you're relieved of hunger. So also the thirst. Similarly, this, I want to be happy and peaceful, this happens to be the natural emotional urge. You have to fulfill some time or the other in life. Therefore, this is a natural urge. This is a choiceless. You have to fulfill. In fact, not knowing how to fulfill it we do so many things to keep us in good humor. And we want to attain happiness. We do not know we cannot attain happiness. So we make all possible efforts to attain happiness, to be happy. In fact, Indian scripture, Vedanta Shastram, the end portion of the Veda Shastram. Shastram means scripture. Says, you cannot attain happiness. In fact, you need not attain happiness. Why you need not attain happiness? You cannot attain happiness. You can never attain happiness. Because attainment is always of something which is away from you, which is different from you, isn't it? You can never attain what you already have. You can never reach a place, is it, where you are already. Sitting here in Eva's, Frank's house, if I tell you, I need to reach Frank's, Eva's house, please help me. I need to reach Frank's, Eva's house. It's in Frankfurt, very close to the airport. If I keep on telling you, and you'll all think what? This Swamini is mad. She is sitting in Eva's house. And that too, not any other Eva, the Frank's dear wife. She is sitting in the same house where she wants to go. And she says she wants to reach that house. You will all think. And you, one of few of you are very kind, come and help me. Now you are already sitting in Eva's house. Come on, I want to go to Eva's house. And other gentleman says, you know, I think it's not worth talking to her. I will quietly go and tell Eva, please pack her off to India soon. Why do you bring this mad woman? Understand? You're all laughing now. So Shastram also laughs at us. Come on. You want to attain happiness. Why? Because happiness is your very nature. Absolute peace and non-disturbable peace is your very nature. You are already happiness. You cannot become peaceful, you are the very source of peace. You cannot become happy, you are already happiness. Then also you all get angry. What are you talking about? If already my very nature is happiness, if I am already happiness, if I am myself peace, source of peace, then why am I unhappy? Why there is unhappiness on the part of every human mind which seeks happiness constantly, choicelessly, endlessly, through many endeavors, through many things, and here also we get the help. Why we are unhappy? Why there is something called unhappiness, sorrow, grief on the part of every human being? Because we do not know what happiness is. We do not know what peace is. We do not know that we do not know what happiness is. We are all searching for happiness, not knowing that we do not know what happiness is. Some of us think also happiness is a state of mind. If it is a state of mind, then it would change. It would not be there always. A state of mind is subject to change, will change. If happiness is a state of mind, and even if you work hard and attain, we're practicing meditation, and that state of mind would change. It will not be permanent. Therefore, a fact the scripture reveals is, happiness is already there as the very nature of yourself, your own swarupam. You do not know what happiness is. All that you need to do is, you need not attain happiness, you need to discover what happiness is. So happiness remains covered. What is that which is covering happiness? Ignorance of what happiness is covering the happiness. Ignorance covers. You can ask how ignorance covers. I do not know one word of German, okay? So Eva says something in German. She says, please go and take it. She expresses this in German language. I sit here. I only think what she says something, she says something. Suppose she says, there are apples in the kitchen, please go and take them. I know what apple is, isn't it? But I do not know what she says in German. So I don't go and take it. So the apples are there, but I don't go and take them. Why? Because my ignorance of what she says covers. Is it clear? Ignorance covers. It remains covered. Similarly, happiness is covered. And it needs to be discovered. Understanding, knowing what happiness is what? Discovering happiness. Not knowing what happiness is what? Having the happiness covered by ignorance. So now the question comes, okay, happiness is my choiceless end because I have no choice. Like, I have to, because it's expression of the natural emotional urge, I have no choice. I have to discover it if it is already there as my very nature. How to discover what happiness is? How to know what happiness is? How to understand what happiness is? Here again, with the help of the scripture alone, we come to know. The happiness is available for discovery as the very nature of the self. Oh, this is where we come to know. I do not know what the self is. If you know what your self is, if you know what you are, then definitely you would have known what happiness is. In fact, if you know what you are, if you know what your real self is, then definitely you know the self of all the beings. Definitely you know the truth of everything, the truth of the entire universe here. Then you definitely know what happiness is. They're not three different things. The truth of the individual self, you, truth of you, your self, the truth of the entire universe, and happiness are not different things. This is where you come to know you do not even know yourself. We can say otherwise, where is happiness available for recognition? How is happiness available for understanding? I need to discover what happiness is. The scripture says, happiness and the reality or the truth of the whole are not two different things. Like what? The fire and heat are inseparable. Can you separate the heat from the fire? Can you separate the light from the sun? Sun, S-U-N, sun, and the light are inseparable. Sun and brilliance are inseparable. Fire and heat are inseparable. Why? Because it's intrinsic property of the fire. Heat is the intrinsic property of the fire. Light is the intrinsic nature of the sun. Sun and light are not separable two different things. Fire and heat are not two different, separable things. Then what is heat then? Why do you use two different words then? Heat is the very nature of the fire. Being hot is the nature of the fire. being brilliant is the very nature of this sun. Nature. If you know what the fire is, you definitely know what the heat means. If you know what the sun is, you definitely know what the light is. You cannot say, I know what the fire is, but I do not understand what heat means. You cannot say that. Similarly here, if you know what the reality of the whole cosmos is, you definitely know what happiness is. Reality and happiness are inseparable. Why? Happiness is very nature. It's another synonym of the word fullness or limitlessness. Very nature of the reality. Now the question comes, oh, there is the reality. I never thought of the word reality. And now I never understood that I should know the reality. Now there is no choice. Knowledge of what the reality is in fact the knowledge of what happiness is. You need not know what happiness is. If you know what the reality is, you will definitely know what happiness is. It's like if you know what fire is, you know what heat means. Understand? Therefore, scriptures say happiness is the very nature of the reality. Now the question comes, I need to discover what the reality is. For what? To discover what happiness is. So in fact, they're not two different things. Discovering what the reality is itself, what in fact, discovery of what happiness is. They're not even two different things. That's why we say knowledge of the truth is the means and happiness is the end. They say that. In fact, knowledge itself is the end. What knowledge? Knowledge of what reality itself is the end, goal. Because itself is knowledge of what happiness is. So knowledge of what happiness is, in fact, attainment of happiness. What have everlasting happiness. And here the question comes, what do you mean by reality? We need to know the reality means. What do you mean by the word reality? Here. Let me give an example first. A very simple, regular example. When you see a big ocean full of waves, you're astonished to see the huge, big ocean with innumerable, countless waves. And you see the waves, varieties of waves, big, small, roaring, quiet, but all types of waves. And you think, each wave is part of the ocean. You can't take one wave separately and keep somewhere away. Okay, let me do one thing. Take one by one, each wave, and keep it separately from the ocean. Can you do that? Each wave is part of the entire ocean, inseparable part of the entire ocean. So the ocean, all the waves constitute one big ocean. And you understand the fact, if there is one substance called H2O, water, remove that one substance called water, the H2O, all the waves will disappear. Not even one wave will remain. The entire ocean will disappear. Wave is a substantive, a word. Ocean is a word. These two words will become meaningless if we remove one substance called water. If you remove the water, will there be ocean? After taking away all the water, will there be waves? No. That we understand the truth of the word wave, or the reality of the word wave and the ocean, is nothing but one substance called water. Is it clear? Water is the reality. Water is the truth of the ocean, without which the word ocean will be meaningless. The word wave will be meaningless, will disappear. Ocean cannot exist without the water. The existence of the ocean is the water. The existence of the wave is the water. Therefore, water is the truth, the reality of the ocean. Similarly, what is that reality without which the word, the substantive universe, the cosmos, will disappear? The truth of the entire universe. There is one substance. Just as water is the only substance of the substantives, waves, and the ocean, without which wave and ocean cannot exist at all. Similarly, there is one substance, one truth, one reality, without which this substantive cosmos, or every individual which is part of the whole cosmos, cannot exist at all, is here known as the reality, the truth of the cosmos. And here the scriptures say, this reality, you do not even know what the reality of the universe is. Therefore, we do not know how happiness is, the very nature of the reality. So we need not work for attaining happiness. We need not work for discovering what happiness is. If we make efforts, okay, to arrive at what the reality is, then you have discovered what happiness is. Because there are two different things. Again, next question comes. How to know what the reality is? How to discover what the reality is? It's very clear now. We need not work hard to discover what happiness is. It is enough if we discover what the reality is. How to discover what the reality is? And here again, can I discover the reality through scientific experiments, sitting in a lab, or asking lots of questions, but reading lots of books? No. No choice. Reality has to be discovered. That's the only way you can discover your choiceless and you can fulfill your natural emotional urge of wanting to be happy. Here again, scriptures say, the reality is available for recognition. Reality of the whole is abstract. It is not available for objectification. It is not available for external perception. Reality has to be understood in terms of its nature. And reality is available for recognition in one's own mind. I cannot know what other person's mind. Therefore, I cannot know what the reality is in other person's mind. Reality is available for recognition in one's own mind. Reality of what? The reality of the entire cosmos. It's like saying the wave, which happens to be the part of the ocean, wants to know the truth of the entire ocean. What is the truth of the entire ocean? Water. What is the truth of the wave? Water. Therefore, if the wave has to know the truth of the ocean, the wave can know the truth of the very wave, truth of itself. Truth of the wave and the truth of the ocean are not two different things. even though wave is a different word meaning a small form, ocean is a different word meaning the big form. The truth of both is one and the same. Why? Because wave is inseparable part of the non-different part of the whole, one whole ocean. Similarly, we have to understand the fact every one of us here, every being, a living being, every creature here, every object which exists here is an inseparable, understand, part of the whole cosmos, whole universe. Wherever you are, wherever you live, you are still the part of the part and parcel of the whole. Therefore, the truth of yourself, the truth of the cosmos are not two different things. The one and the only truth. Just as the truth of every wave is water, the truth of any wave is water, the truth of entire ocean is water. Similarly, the truth of every creature, every being, every individual, everyone, everything here is in fact the truth of the whole is one and the one, only truth. Therefore, if you want to know what the truth is, you need not search for the truth as an object in the world. As long as you search for the truth in the world also, externally also, it will be an endless search. Why? Because it is not available there. Yo veda nihitam guhayam. Guhayam nihitam. It remains, reality is available for recognition in one's own mind. That too, as what? Reality is available in everyone's mind as the very truth of I. All of us use this expression when we refer to ourselves. When I refer to myself, I refer to the other person, I say he. I refer to other person, I say she. When I refer to many other people who are far from me, I say those people, they. I refer to a group of people who are very nearby, close to me, I say these people, these, those, they, he. She, this is a flower. It is. I use so many pronouns when I refer to anything and everything other than myself. When I refer to myself, I don't say he, she, it, that. Then what is that pronoun I use to refer to myself? I. I. So what is I? First person singular pronoun I use when I refer to myself. Anything other than, okay, And here, the word I is a substantive. First person singular pronoun I is a substantive. Like wave is a substantive. Ocean is a substantive. I, substantive. Universe, cosmos is a substantive. Like what? Ocean is a substantive. The substance without which the substantives wave and ocean cannot exist at all is water. Similarly, what is the substance of the substantive I? What is the substance of the substantive I? Without which the I will collapse. There cannot be I without that. There cannot be the substantive wave without the water. So what is the substance without which the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun I, cannot exist? We do not know. This is what knowledge. Understand? This is called knowing our ignorance. I do not. That means you can say wave is water. If somebody asks what is wave, you know wave is part of the whole, inseparable part of the ocean. What is a wave? Wave is water. Isn't it true? You all know very well. If the wave happens to speak, doesn't speak, and if that wave is voice wave, what will say? I, the wave, am water, the H2O. I, the wave, am the ocean. I, the wave, am water. Not a grunt wave. So here also, what are you? Do you know you are? Do you all know you are? Do every one of you here, do you know you are? Yes. What a stupid question is, Swaminiji. Don't we know we are here? I know I am. This is half knowledge. Thank God you are blessed with that knowledge. Do you need to go to the university to study to know you are? Am I? Do you need to go to school to study, to learn, to know that you are? No. If you are born a human being, enough. You are a human being means you are blessed with this knowledge that I am, you are. Isn't it true? Know why I am saying this? We are very, very fortunate. Human beings are superior beings, most sophisticated of all the beings here. Why? Because we alone are blessed with this half knowledge. What is that knowledge? I know I am. Isn't it true? We all know, isn't it? I know I am. No monkey knows I am a monkey. Elephant does not know, does not say, I am an elephant. There is no knowledge on the part of any animal. We say, we differentiate one animal from another animal. Cat, dog, different pictures we know in kindergarten class. And we say, elephant, lion, tiger, cat, dog. But no elephant says, I am an elephant. Lion will not come and say, I am a lion, king of the forest. No tiger says, I am a tiger. Be careful. Why? There is no such thing called self-consciousness on the part of any other living being. They are alive, they have life, they live, they have hunger, they have thirst, they eat, they drink, they grow big, they become adult animals, they can recognize their species, they can have sex, they can reproduce, they can die one day. But what is not there on the part of any other being is the knowledge, I am. Human beings alone are blessed with this half knowledge, I am. That is why human beings are the most sophisticated beings. We are blessed with the self-consciousness, I am. If animals themselves do not have this, what to talk of plants? There's a non-living inert thing. There are non-living inert things, inanimate things like Mike, wall, brick, etc. There are living beings like plants and innumerable, countless creatures, beings. They're living beings, but there's no knowledge I am on the part of any other living being. Human being alone is blessed with this half knowledge I am. Unfortunately, the human being also is not blessed with other half knowledge. What is that? What I am. I am is fine. I am what? What am I? Who am I? That knowledge is not there. So, a human being alone is qualified, eligible to make this half knowledge total knowledge. Because you already know you are eligible to know who you are, what you are. When you discover what you are, your knowledge is total, complete. Half knowledge becomes total knowledge, complete knowledge. I am. Half knowledge. I am a human being, relatively right knowledge. I am, I, the individual, am the reality, total knowledge. Understand? If there's knowledge on the part of a wave, I am half knowledge. I am a wave, relatively right knowledge. I, the wave, am water, is total knowledge. On the part of the wave. Similarly, we all have this half knowledge. We need not work hard at all to attain this half knowledge. We are already blessed with this knowledge. I am. Is that? I am a human being is a relatively right knowledge. And I am the reality is what? The total, complete knowledge. In Sanskritam, there's an expression, Aham Brahma Asmi. I, the Self, am Brahman. This is total knowledge. When can you say, when can the wave say, I, the wave, am water? When can it say? When the wave discovers the truth of the entire ocean, not as an object, but as the truth of the wave itself. Similarly, when any human being discovers the truth of the whole cosmos, which is available for recognition in one's own mind, as the truth of very I, substance of the substantive I. When you know what you are, your knowledge is total, complete. This is where we come to know I am, I do not know what I am. And I do not know that I do not know what I am. Not knowing what I am is ignorance. Not knowing one's own ignorance is innocence. I do not know that I do not know what I am. So here, you need not work hard to know the truth of the whole. All that you need to know is, you know, if you know what you are, you know the substance of the substantive I. Being the reality, you know the truth of the whole. So we say, by knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. Then you have discovered your what happiness is. Therefore, discovery of what one's own self is. Discovering the substance of the substantive I, what I am, is in fact discovery of the truth of the whole. Discovery of the truth of the whole is discovery of what happiness is. That's why self-knowledge is freedom from unhappiness. Discovery of the self is discovery of what happiness is. Discovery of what happiness is attainment of freedom from unhappiness. Attainment of freedom from unhappiness is discovery of what happiness is. Discovery of what happiness is, in fact, discovery of what the self is. Therefore, scriptures say, may you know thyself. May you know what you are. Now, we say, this knowledge, self-knowledge, is an absolute human end, ultimate human goal. Why? Well, I already told you, I want to be happy happens to be the natural emotional urge. It has to be this fulfilled, and the full, this is possible only through the knowledge of the self. Is it clear now? That is why it's a choiceless end. So in Sanskritam we use the term mokshaha. Mokshaha means freedom, liberation. What is mokshaha? Freedom from the unwanted, undesirable sorrow, unhappiness. What do you mean by the attainment of freedom? Is nothing but discovery of what happiness is. Is the attainment of freedom from unhappiness. So discovery of happiness is the discovery of the truth, and discovery of the truth of the whole is in fact discovery of the truth of I, discovery of what I am.